God, as we come, as we've just heard this scripture, I'm just wondering what it's like for you, in your own way, whatever your way is, God, to reflect back over this time in Jesus' life. A time that's called a triumphal entry, a time when he was actually recognized as a king on earth. Yet all that went along with that. I pray that as we spend time looking at that scripture today, we'll understand the relevance for Jesus and what Jesus may have been experiencing at that time. But Lord, then how that translate into what you desire us to know and experience today. May Palm Sunday be more than just part of the Holy Week story that we read in Scripture. Lord, may it be a part of what we apply to our lives so that we live more in the way you desire us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, if you want to follow along with the outline in your bulletin, I'm starting out today with what I call the big picture, the story, the who, where, and what. And this is often called the triumphal entry, Christ riding in triumph to Jerusalem 5 days before his death. You see, on the Jewish calendar, in their culture, they had what they called the Passover, which is a big deal. And as a part of that, one of the things they make the big deal about is the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is a lamb that is set apart as a part of a sacrifice that represents a desire for people to have God's forgiveness. And this is something they did every year. But upon this occasion, this year, this time, something much more dramatic happened, because you see, this was the 10th day when the lamb was set to be sacrificed for the Passover. It was set apart and put on public display. That's what was happening every year. But it was on this day that Jesus himself actually came on a donkey, riding into Jerusalem. So, though most didn't realize what was happening that day, the beginning of what we call Holy Week, Christ was there fulfilling his role as the true sacrificial lamb. That's what was happening. That's what Palm Sunday was about. That's what was going on. Jesus had stayed at Bethany, a village not far from Jerusalem, for some time. At a supper there the night before, Mary had anointed his feet. And you can look if you want to read more about that. It's in John chapter 12. But that was when Mary anointed his feet. Jesus traveled a lot. And when Jesus traveled, he almost exclusively walked everywhere he went. One of the main places he would walk was between Galilee and Jerusalem. We hear stories and know that he did that with some frequency. Yet, this one time, once in his life, he rode in triumph. It was now when he went into Jerusalem to suffer and to die. This was according to fulfillment of Scripture. You heard what Joey read, but there's another Scripture I want to read to you. It's just two verses. It comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. And part of it was included in what Joey read already, but it was fulfilling of Scripture. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to river to the ends of the earth. So that leads me into what I'm going to call the details of Palm Sunday. The first detail I want to talk about, and it relates to the scripture I just read, is that of the idea of a donkey and a king. You see, when a leader is coming in, particularly if they were a strong leader, one that was expected to be a war hero, one that would lead in this way, they rode in on a horse. So the question has often been asked, in fact, in doing my research and on the internet, there was over and over again, there seemed to be questions about why, when Jesus, if he's the leader, why did he come in on a donkey instead of on a horse? Because in this time it was understood that that's what leaders came in on. They rode in on horses, and it's much more majestic, it's much more fitting of a king. Why didn't he do that? The donkey is significant versus the horse. The donkey represented humility and peace. In fact, Jesus wasn't the first one to come into leadership riding on a donkey. There were others, but one of the ones that's well known in Scripture is Solomon. And if you go back and look in the book of Kings, you'll see that Solomon also did that. But it's representative of the type of leader that they would be expected to be, and it's one that comes in peace. Not one that comes in war, but somehow or another, I believe some people missed that. The ones that were there, even. Another thing that I noticed about the donkey, and I could have preached a series of sermons on the donkey. I realized that when I started doing my research and looking into different things. But one of the things that stood out to me, I wanted to point out to you, is the donkey. Was it Jesus' donkey? No. He borrowed it. Now, it's understanding someone that came from where Jesus did, someone that didn't have any more material possessions than Jesus did, may not have a horse. But it wasn't uncommon for even the poor to have a donkey, either to ride on or to carry things around on, and it wasn't that expensive necessarily, but Jesus did not even own his own donkey. And so when it came to this time, this amazing part of Jesus' ministry, he sent his disciples to borrow a donkey. I think that's significant in us understanding the lifestyle that Jesus lived. But that's not all. You know something else about the donkey? How did the disciples know where to go to get the donkey? Jesus told them. Now, I'm thinking, and the place that Jesus told him to go get it, I'm not thinking that's the place the donkey just hung out all the time. But Jesus knew what to tell the disciples in terms of where to go. He knew the owner was going to be there. He told them what to tell the owner. Jesus, even at this time, seemed to be omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. He was aware of more than just what us in our humanness would be aware of. And I think that's important for us to remember on this Palm Sunday. That's important for us to remember in our lives that Jesus, that God is all-knowing. Especially if we're going to rely on Him. Well, I want to move on to another detail. It's what they call the cloak. Now, the cloak is kind of a coat, but not really. It's the outer garment, but it usually didn't have sleeves on it. But that's not really important. I just want to let you kind of know what the cloak is. But the cloak, to take a cloak and lay it down in front of somebody that's coming, that's an acknowledgement, a tribute, an honor for royalty. So people were doing something that really seemed like a good thing for Jesus as he came in, as he had this triumphal. People literally took off their outer garments, put it down in front of Jesus to acknowledge that he was a leader, that they even desired him to be their leader. But there was one problem. They were looking for a different type of leader than what Jesus had agreed to be. They were looking for a conqueror. They were looking for someone who was going to lead them in a revolt against Rome, someone who was going to help them benefit, probably financially and otherwise, who was going to take care of their physical needs in that way, who was going to put them in a better place in the way they understood at that point. You know, they didn't recognize that Jesus came to save them, but not save them so much from a situation they didn't want to be in, but to save them from their sin. And you know, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but you wonder sometimes how these people who pay tribute to Jesus, and they knew that they didn't forget who Jesus was from Sunday to Friday. They didn't forget that, and his looks didn't change that much. So what happened? This is what I understood, what I understand through Scripture, what I believe happened. You know, they paid homage to him. They were acknowledging Jesus. They wanted Jesus to be a part of their life, but they had a certain way they wanted it done. And when that didn't happen the way they wanted it, in less than a week, they were willing to chant and put him on a cross. So, you know, it was a triumphal entry. But knowing that Jesus knew about the donkey, I'm pretty sure that Jesus knew ahead of time those people that were cheering, those people that were putting their cloaks down, were the same ones that were going to be jeering at him at the cross. I wonder what that was like. Well, let's consider the palms. The palms are something we don't see as often probably now as they did during this time, because palms were very much a part of Old Testament culture, Old Testament sharing. Palms, and not just in the Bible, but throughout that time, palms represented goodness, well-being, and victory. Goodness, well-being, and victory. You would see architecture. In fact, you can still find it, architecture, where palms are part of it for that reason. So as people took the palms and they waved the palm branches and they said the things that they said, they were acknowledging that they were saying, this king is one that we proclaim and desire for goodness and well-being and victory. And as they did, the goodness that they're thinking about is about goodness that the king is going to bring to this land for themselves, I would imagine. And yes, they want their king to live long and bring about a rule that's going to make them more important than all of their neighbors and those around them. And then the well-being, they want the king to be healthy. Yes, they do. Because he needs to be strong and he needs to lead, and that's what they want, and that's going to make them be more the people that others have to look up to. So yes, they were waving the palm branches in victory. Yes, they wanted their king to be victorious. They wanted him to conquer all of the other neighboring countries. They wanted to be the ones that were on top. So yes, they meant it when they waved the palm branches. And what did they say as they waved the palm branches? What's the word that we hear on Palm Sunday? Hosanna. And Hosanna, a literal interpretation of Hosanna, is save now. One of the literal interpretations of Hosanna is save now. And the people knew that better than we do. And for them to shout Hosanna, their understanding of saving now, they wanted to experience salvation, and they want it now. They were ready for their king to come. They were ready for what they understood the Messiah to be, to take them to a different level, and they didn't want to wait. But you know, this leads me to what I really want to close with, and that's the relevance that this has for us. We've talked now about what that was like for Jesus in that day, and maybe for the people that were there, as much as we can understand by looking into Scripture. But what was the relevance for Jesus for the rest of the week? What is the relevance for us? What is it leading up to? Well, you know, the palm branches did have meaning for Jesus too, and they did represent goodness, well-being, and victory. Goodness, he was the innocent lamb that was brought to slaughter. There was none that ever lived on earth the way he did. He was perfect. So yes, the palm branches that we have today represent goodness. There was also well-being. The well-being of Jesus Christ is tied into his relationship to God. And that's how he knew, even though he didn't want to go through what he did on the cross, he knew that it was going to be okay as much as it was not going to be something he desired. And you know what he also knew? His well-being was tied into our well-being. And I don't mean just that we're healthy. I don't mean that we have everything we need. I mean something that goes deeper than that. Our eternal well-being. And yes, the palm branches represent victory. Not the type of victory that almost everybody that was there on Palm Sunday as the parade came through, not what most of them expected. Not an earthly victory, but a victory that was even more amazing. A victory over death. A victory over sin and death. That they had recited scripture about, that they had heard read numerous times, but still didn't completely understand. That's what the palm branch was. That's what the hosannas were. That's what the donkey was. That's what all of Palm Sunday was about for Jesus. How about for us? My question for us is, are we looking for a Savior that's going to save us from a situation or from our sin? The people here at Palm Sunday were looking for someone that was going to save them from their situation. Jesus knew they needed salvation from their sin, and he continued to go there even though it wasn't what they wanted or thought they wanted. But the same thing happens to us. And our situation, you know, our situation, Jesus understands it. I talked about the fact he didn't have much. He didn't even have his own donkey. And I talked about the fact he walked. We, most of us, have some form of a motorized vehicle. If not, you got probably got a bike. Jesus did most of his traveling on foot, and it wasn't just on a paved road, it was on a dirt road. And I looked up the distance from Galilee to Jerusalem walking is approximately 68 miles. So it wasn't a short walk. And he probably didn't just walk straight back and forth, but he lived life. And he did what God wanted him to along that journey that was difficult and hard and dusty at times. So yes, Jesus understands the life we go through and the hardships we go through and the dust that we have to wipe off of ourselves sometimes, and the fact that sometimes it may get so dusty we can't see where we're going, but Jesus understands that. He knows the situation we're in, but he didn't necessarily come to save us from all of those situations. He came to save us from our sin. So what is our expectation? We're going to have a time shortly that the children are going to get an opportunity to go to the back, and they're going to come forward with palm branches. And so I don't know if we're actually going to say it, but if not, it's going to be represented, our hosannas. And as we acknowledge that, is it going to be about saving us now from our situation or saving us from our sins? Victory over death that Jesus gave us was messy. It could have been done in a different way, yes, but this is the way God chose to do it because he understands the messiness of life. It was messy, and you know, I don't know, somebody taught me, I struggled in cleaning. Cleaning is not my thing, but Christy actually helped me with this. Sometimes to clean, if you have a junk drawer and you're going to clean it up, I hated this when Christy first told me. You know what she'd do? Should take the whole drawer out and dump the thing. I mean, it took the junk drawer and made a bigger mess all over the table or wherever it was she put it. I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, this is not a good way to clean. It's making a bigger mess. But sometimes, because if I sit there and did it, I'm moving all these things around. It takes me 3 hours to get everything where it's supposed to be. She dumps everything out. The mess is there. She finishes in 10 minutes. Sometimes you have to acknowledge the mess and not try to hide it. And so, yes, sometimes it's get messy. Victory over sin is messy. And sometimes the situations we go through are messy, but God goes through them with us. So, we're going to close. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward, and as they do, I'm going to invite the children. I think Rob and Jackie and Christy are going to meet the children at the back, and you're going to receive some palms. And after this hymn, and when we're being played out, that the children are going to come forward, and they're going to go to the social hall. And if you're not staying, you'll be able to pick them up there. If you are staying for our small group in Sunday school time, they'll already be where they need to be. But I want you to think seriously about what Palm Sunday is for you. Or do you really want Jesus in your life? Do you really want to know Jesus' salvation? And if you are, what do you really want to be saved from? Is it just a situation? You just want your life to be a little different right now? Or do you really want your life to be changed? Because the people there didn't understand. In fact, they were so upset that they didn't get it the way they wanted, that they crucified him. So then my question is, are there times that you, that I, crucify Christ because we're not getting what we think Christ should be giving us? We don't acknowledge Christ. We take back and say, God, if you ain't going to do it the way I want it done, I'm going to do it myself. Thinking we know more than God does. The omniscient God. The God who knew where the donkey was in Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that knew where that was. The God that knows everything. We take it back and say, God, you're not good enough to deal with my life. I'm going to do it myself. That's not asking save now. That's not trusting. God may not take those situations the way we want Him to, but He will take our sin and enable us, that situation, to be something that we grow through in a way that changes us forever and the people around us. Let's stand together and sing.
In your hymnal, page number 130, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.